Hi, it's Craig Sigal here, the mental toughness trainer, delivering to you life-changing strategies, training, and techniques to become fearless, direct your mind, master your emotions, and speed you along to your goals. Show notes and to stay connected to me are at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com with a link to all podcast episodes at the top of the site. All right, let's do this. Welcome to episode 2 of the Mental Toughness Trainer podcast, where today we are going to talk about what I call the holy grail of change, the keys to getting any kind of change you want in order to achieve your goals, to be who you want, to live your genuine life, and to perform to your potential. Now, what makes me different than everyone else out there that I've noticed is that here, everything I do is about going to the core of the issue, the causes of the issue, and eliminating the problems at the source, as opposed to everyone else out there who I just keep hearing like to treat the symptoms. For a simple example is people coming to me and say they need confidence, and so somebody gives them a little trick that they can say something like, I'm a champion. That's symptom work. That's like giving an aspirin to someone who has a brain tumor. No. Here at the Mental Toughness Trainer, the podcast and everything we do here, it is about going in and eliminating that stuff, that mental baggage, those non-useful neural network programs and beliefs that are holding you back. And that's where we're going to start here with today's topic, which is what I call the holy grail of change. Now, let me just start with my own personal story here and how I came to be the mental toughness trainer. Before I started doing this work many moons ago, I was a corporate manager, and I did not like my job. I was in the transportation industry, where everything had to be done yesterday with less money and less time. And if you don't get it done, well, we'll find somebody who can. I lived under that. Now, probably most of that pressure was just my own perspective and perception of the events of what were happening to me at the time. And either way, it caused me pressure, stress. It literally almost destroyed me. My body was sick. I caught every single little sickness and issue that my kids brought home from school. My back hurt all the time. I was seeing chiropractors, medical doctors, and even a psychologist to help me deal. One day, I went to my doctor, and he was a new doctor. He's an osteopath. He's somebody who specializes in back work. Well, I had bronchitis that would not go away for months. I had an infection in there, and my back hurt. So I go in there, and he cracks my back and manipulates me so it starts feeling pretty good. And he gives me some antibiotics. He says, that'll clear up the stuff in the chest. He says, and I want you to take this one little medication. Now, I had told him my whole story. It was amazing that I got a doctor who was able to spend some time with me and ask me, really, what's going on in my life? And I told him the whole thing. You know, the pressures at work, troubles at home, not a good marriage, on and on and on. Typical stuff most of us adults are dealing with. And he says, I want you to try this little pill. I go, what is it? And he says, it's an antidepressant. I go, whoa, oh, that's not me. That's for mentally ill people. No, I'm not going to do that. He just looked me in the eye and he goes, humor me. Now, I looked at him, you know, like a god, because he had fixed me up a number of times with different issues, and now my back was feeling better, and the antibiotic he prescribed, I had every confidence that was going to be done in my chest. And so I said, psh, all right. So I took everything. I started feeling better. I had an appointment with him a couple weeks later. I go in there. He says, how you doing? I go, man, my chest is cleared up. Yeah, it's great. Back feels good. He goes, no, how you feeling? I go, you know, strangely better. I can't really put my finger on it, but yeah. And he looks me direct in the eye from about 2 feet away, leaned in. And he goes, Now, how are you going to change your life? I was shocked. I kind of jumped back. And I knew what he meant. Except the thing that really hit me was, well, wait a minute. And it kind of didn't really sink in until later after I had left his office and had a chance to integrate this. And I said, wait a minute. If I'm sick now and having all these problems now because of stuff I'm doing, and he says I just need to change my life and that's going to fix me, it's interesting that I didn't come to that conclusion before. But I think a lot of people are in that place, just kind of going through life and thinking things are just happening to me, especially illnesses. Illnesses just happen to me. No, he says, how are you going to change your life? And so I went about changing my life. Wholesale reinvention. I started taking courses at the community college to learn how to use computers. I started exercising. I looked for ways to change my career. I got serious about it. I wasn't happy about my career at the time. And that led me to what I'm doing today. How are you going to change your life? And so the holy grail of change here is getting past those roadblocks and doing this in a way that's effective and puts you in line with how you want to live and how you want to feel. Because we are in charge of that. Now, there's three parts to permanent or long-term or long-lasting change. I'm not talking about just changing your mind, you know, feel good for a day. I'm talking about long-term change. Part one is being relentless, and we talked about that in episode one. We're going to get into it a little bit more specifically for change here. The next key is you must connect to your inner mind. That's where the change needs to happen. The long-term change always occurs at the level of the inner mind, not just your thinking mind. And part three is you've got to deliver the correct antidote to the inner mind. All right, let's start here today with building relentless. And that, as you learned in episode one, is your belief that you can change. So the way to open the door to this belief, if you're starting from scratch or didn't listen to my episode one, let's just start right here. It begins with an awareness of what's going on with you and a framework so that you have the understanding to take control of how you operate instead of letting the world happen to you. This is what opens that door. And it begins with this idea that we have two minds. You've been hearing me refer to the inner mind, right? The technical term is the unconscious mind. Now, some people refer to it as the subconscious mind. Some people split them out into different functions. For my purposes, I like to use the term unconscious, and that's what I'm going to use going forward, but I really mean the subconscious. The reason I don't like sub, because sub tends to mean, the prefix sub tends to mean lesser or lower, and I really believe it is the greater part of us, and we tap into that. That is a huge source of our power because it manages our emotions and all of our automatic functions, all the things we do not have to think about. Our conscious mind, on the other side of the coin here, the other major function is what I call sometimes your thinking mind. This is the part of our intelligence, our mind, if you will, that makes decisions and choices. Now, it'd be great if we made a decision like, hey, all right, I want to quit smoking. I'm going to go back to that because everybody understands that. Or some other addiction. I need to quit drinking or quit drugs. Decision, choice, okay. And you make that decision, but yet your body keeps giving you massive cravings to do that thing. And you keep getting automatic thoughts that pop up to do that thing in all kinds of situations, or maybe just all day long while you're trying to use willpower. That's your conscious mind. This is like, the conscious mind is like a rider. And the unconscious mind is like an elephant. It's like a rider on an elephant. Now, how much power does a rider on an elephant have over the elephant? If the elephant decides it wants to do something, how much power does a human being, 6 foot whatever, have over an elephant? 3-ton or however heavy these elephants are, to get an elephant to do what it wants. Not much. It all depends on the elephant's training, right? That's what this is all about. It is training your unconscious mind to be in line with your choices and decisions by your conscious mind. So it'd be nice if we could just make a choice and boom, that gets into the unconscious mind, and the unconscious mind all of a sudden gives you the emotions and the automatic thoughts that support your decision, and boom, we're done. But the problem is there's this block between the conscious and the unconscious. Some people call it the critical thinking faculty. Now we need this. If we didn't have this critical thinking faculty, what would happen is we would be like little kids. We build this thing over time. The older we get, the stronger it is. We'd be like little kids if we didn't have this divider, if you will. You know, somebody could come to you and say, at the age of, I'm 52 at this recording, and say, Craig, hey, you know, did you know that the sky during the daytime, that's green. The color you're looking at right now, clear sky, it's green. I go, really? Okay. Yeah, it's green. Hey, Craig, did you know that the world is flat? Oh, really? Okay, world's flat. Got it. No, every time you learn something and it gets accepted, it's like building a block in that divider or that wall between the conscious and the unconscious. So we need that. That's what makes us able to survive and hold on to all kinds of useful stuff. Unfortunately, it also separates us from non-useful stuff that gets below the surface into the unconscious. So normally I draw this on a board and it's visual. And if you can imagine the conscious mind, a square, and then a line underneath the square, and then another square underneath, and that's the unconscious. And then I erase the middle part of the line and draw a line between the conscious and the unconscious. You know, it's kind of like a communication, like, what is it, two cans with a string together. It's kind of like that. But in normal, everyday life, you're not connected like that all the time, maybe sometimes. The key here is you've got to make that connection. We're going to get into that in a minute. But continuing on with building relentless of your belief that you can change something starts with, well, you gotta have the desire to change. You've got to want to change for yourself. I have infinite optimism for anybody who comes to me and wants to change that they can change. I don't have much optimism about the general populace about things because they don't want to change. I mean, you've got to have this for starters. The general populace just does things because of how they're programmed, and that's just the way it is for most people, until they get to a point where they really want to change something. Now, we can take that to an extreme, and that's what I call leverage. You could make your key to change something that drives you so much that it's enough to overcome all the other barriers and obstacles, that critical thinking faculty, and all the other things I'm going to talk about how to overcome as we go forward here, it can overcome all that all on its own. And here's an example of that. Let's say you're struggling with alcohol. You need to reduce alcohol. I keep saying that because I had that trouble as part of my past, and that was what I needed to overcome. I was definitely overdoing that. What if the life of someone you cared about, your kid, your mom, your partner, what if the life of that person depended on you quitting alcohol? Think you might be able to do that? Somebody had a knife to their neck, a gun to their head. Yeah, you see where leverage can come in? Absolutely. Now, what's more normal and what's more common is that the desire to change for yourself comes from pain. I quickly talked about this in the Relentless episode 1. But it comes, this is the starting point that opens the doorway to change. That you are sick and tired of being the way you are and not being able to get out of it. You got to get to that point. My earlier days when I worked with people who wanted to quit smoking, they'd say, yeah, I want to quit smoking. I'd say, okay, why do you want to quit smoking? This is a phone call to see if I'm even going to work with them. They'd say, oh, well, my wife wants me to quit, or my doctor says I should quit. And I'd say, okay, tell me more about that. Yeah, you know, not a whole lot of desire to change for yourself. And I literally would say, you know what, you're not ready to quit. You don't want to quit. And I'd turn people away. I said, well, I don't want to waste your money or my time. Because if you don't really want to quit, you need to be on the edge of really wanting to be totally and completely done with this. Sick and tired of how this stuff has ruined your life, made a slave out of you. If you're there, oh, then I can push you over the edge. Not that great of a metaphor, but I can help you over the line into being free from that. How about that? And I've actually literally turned people down from working with them because they weren't anywhere near that. I've had people come to me and say, yeah, we got past my filter there that I just told you about. I had a person come to me, major corporate executive, said, yep, I need to quit. I went through his life and I found out, you don't want to quit. You're not going to quit. He says, what do you mean? I said, you get way too much benefit from smoking. You're not going to quit. And he was just shocked. He looked at me and he goes, that's what my doctor said too. Turns out that smoking was the only time that he ever got a few moments to himself to just do nothing, take deep breaths. It was like his break. That was his de-stressor. His unconscious mind, I'll tell you more about that later, but its job is to run your body. It doesn't care about your happiness. It doesn't care about your goals. It doesn't care about anything other than keeping you alive. That's its number one job. And its number one enemy is stress. Too much stress makes it really hard for the unconscious mind to run the body. And it was literally giving him massive cravings to smoke because he needed those de-stressing periods. They were like reset buttons. And he didn't give himself that any other time in his life. I said, come back to me when you're ready or to adjust your life. Remember, my doctor looking me in the eye kind of did the same thing to him. When you're ready to change your life. Because this isn't, I have no magic. Nobody has magic to fix you. It's not possible. The next item here, I'm building relentless and belief that you can change, is to get out of your victimhood. Get out of the idea that somebody else is going to fix you. That's right. Nobody can fix you. Only you can fix you. I don't have any magic. Nobody does. No ability to zap you. No ability to go inside your head and rewire you. I'm like a Sherpa guide. When they take you up a mountain that you want to go up. If you don't want to go up that mountain, you're not going. I don't carry people. Nobody has the ability to do that, no matter what you hear or see out on the internet with crazy promises. If you don't walk with me up that mountain, I've got the map, I've got the compass, I've got the tools to get us there. I've been there many, many, many times with many, many, many people. I'll get you there. I know how to get there. But you've got to do the walking. You've got to take the action here. Next item in building your relentless as part of the holy grail of change is to build up your confidence in your ability to change. What's the easiest way to do that? Ask yourself, when have you changed subconscious controlled issues in the past? Lots of people have trouble coming up with this. I ask them, how about when you were a child? Were you afraid of things like the dark? You're not now. That is an unconscious change. Did you like to eat certain things in the past and now you don't? Or not like things in the past and now you do? That's an unconscious change. Do you have different preferences for what you like to wear, for the kind of people you like to hang around with, for what kind of movies you like? All unconscious changes. How do we know those are unconscious changes? Because how you feel making those choices. Can you imagine if today, if you're an adult and you're still watching little kiddie movies that are designed for eight-year-olds and you're still feeling excited and great about them? Your unconscious mind regulates all of your emotions. So you changed a belief program or neural network about your taste in movies. Unconscious change. Everybody has had hundreds, thousands of unconscious changes. So this is one of the things I do when people come to me is I help point them out so they can see that they can change, have changed at the unconscious level many times before. This builds up confidence in our ability to change. You're starting to get this message. Now, you don't need to have this confidence in your ability to change. It's fantastic. It's helpful. But I teach this thing I call, maybe you've heard it before, fake and pretend, and it still works, right? Here's a typical story. Client comes to me, back pain. Had gone to doctors, chiropractors, everybody, pain specialists, no help. Doctor says you got to have back surgery. Now, this person doesn't get vacation or workers' comp because he works for himself. So if he's going to be out from a back surgery for weeks, doesn't get paid, can't afford it. Who wants to get back surgery anyway? They told him it was only going to be about a 30% chance it's going to fix your back problems anyway. I don't know if you know, but back surgeries go on all day long, all over the world, for people with back pain and with no results. Anyway, he comes to my office and I help him. And we go through a guided visualization. When it's all done, he looks me in the eye and he goes, "I don't think that worked." And I go, "How do you know?" "I don't know. I told him about, you know, the solution here is we got to connect your inner mind." I said, "How do you know we connect your inner mind?" "I don't know, because I didn't feel it." I go, "How do you know what it's supposed to feel like?" And I went on and on like that, and he was all confused. He had no idea. He had these preconceived ideas and beliefs that were holding him back from his change that I was destroying one by one. And he finally, in confusion, which is a great place to be, talk more about that later, he says, "I got to go to the bathroom." So he leaves my office and goes to the bathroom, and he comes back, and he's laughing. Now, this guy hadn't cracked a smile in an hour of working with him. All I got was eye rolls from all this stuff that I'm teaching you right now. And he goes, "Craig, what did you do to me?" I said, "I didn't do anything to you. Remember the Sherpa going up the mountain story I told you? You did it." He says, "I was in the bathroom, and I was just thinking about what just happened, and as I was thinking, I go, wait a minute, I got up from that chair with no pain. That's never happened. And my back feels pretty good right now. What'd you do?" Now, he ended up going to the local pain specialist here in the Seattle area, taking all my brochures, and they sent me a whole bunch of people. But my point about that is not in saying how great I was. There's lots of people who can do that kind of work. It's actually quite simple. But here's the deal. When he came to me, he had no belief in his ability to be done with this pain. He was at the end of his rope. I'm the kind of person he went to when there's no one else to go to. He had tried everything else, and he was in pain. One thing he did is he followed my instructions. He did exactly what I said. No belief in his ability to change this and get out of his pain. No belief. But he followed my instructions. So I teach people ever since. I said, just fake and pretend what we're doing works. And it'll work. Follow my instructions. Fake and pretend that it works. And it'll work. Now, it works a lot faster if you really believe in what I'm saying. And I'm going to give you everything I can. The awareness you need, the structure, the tools to get you to the top of that mountain. And if you really buy into it, follow it. Remember I said in episode one, if you're on a 9 or 10 relentless, it works way faster. But it'll still work even if you don't believe. So you now just knowing that you have this conscious mind and this unconscious mind that runs all of your automatic bodily processes that you formerly don't have any control over. You can make that connection. You can change the programs. You can change things that aren't working for you. This is half the battle. Most people have no clue about it. Think about this. Let this sink in. And in the next podcast, we're going to talk about accessing the keys, the power, the methods to communicate and change at the unconscious level. Everything I do has what I just taught you baked into it, built into it. It's gave you a tremendous awareness. That alone can change your life. All right, let's do this. I'm Craig Sigal. See you on the next podcast. If you want to find out what has been holding you back from the life you want and the solution to clear it, get started with my mental toughness quiz found at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com and get serious about achieving your goals or maybe even become a mental toughness trainer yourself. All right, let's do this.